You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. National TV tonight on ESPN at 8, but it's 7 o'clock. Go to News Channel 5, the TV home of the Cleveland Browns, for Building the Browns, episode number 2. And it is a great one, a great look at the Bills and Browns up there in Rochester. Rex Ryan, Mike Penn, some good stuff.
It definitely is. And I watched Building the Browns last week, and I just loved it. My favorite part was the open, where they had, you know, all of you and other, you know, local media kind of referencing the what ifs or the questions about this football team. But I loved how they ran together and kind of and it really portrayed the noise that surrounds this football team in particular. But every team has their own noise going into the football season. And when you build this football team, it's the ability of Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine to cement what they want to do, their philosophy, the roster, the type of individuals they want to draft, bring in here and sign to construct this 53. And I thought it's a very good, insightful look at the Cleveland Browns on how you actually come to grips on creating a team.
It's true. They have their philosophy, and we're certainly going to see that. Now, to me, when you come out and say that your philosophy is, we're going to run the football, I need to see it. I want to see that before week one of the season, because that's going to be a staple of this offense, and it needs to be with this offensive line, the investment made there. That, to me, is the number one thing I want to see. They're going against one of the best defensive fronts in the NFL, and as long as the Bills starters are out there, I want to see, can the Browns run the football and run it effectively in this game?
Does it allow you, if they do it with success against the Buffalo Bills tonight, albeit a preseason game, that you say, if we can do it against the Bills, we can do it against anybody?
I agree with that completely. It's got to be a huge confidence booster for the line, for the
Crow,
backs,
for T. West,
for John DeFilippo,
right,
knowing that he can dial. Like, listen, we can dial up this run when we need to, and we're going to get it, and we're going to be able to move forward. Now, when you have, let me ask you this from a player standpoint. When you run a zone scheme, which the Browns are mostly zone, but also some power, how hard is it when you're going against a front that's that physical? Because it's predicated so much on movement, being able to chip and get to the second level off of those double team blocks. When the guys are that enormous, powerful, strong,
yeah,
is that the hardest thing for that type of a scheme to deal with?
It is. And if you recall standing over there on the field on Monday morning out in Rochester, it wasn't that there were no holes, but what negated a lot of the runs was essentially the penetration. You know, when you have one guy giving hand help, you know, giving hand help on a guy like Phil Taylor, you know, versus like Marcell Dareus, it's two different things. You know, that means that guard's got to stay a little bit longer, you know, on that double team for that center, for Alex Mack to secure that block before Alex can make his way up to the linebackers, and they get color on color, you know, which then gives the linebacker an advantage to understand where the run is going, define his lane, give a good, you know, shock on Alex Mack, which in some cases allows him to bump off and make the play. So absolutely, to have an active defensive front with big defensive outside linebackers former defensive ends that set that edge, and then you allow your three hogs inside to penetrate and be active. And that's the one thing that I've asked of this defense last year, you know, and to name names, and I'm not, you know, he's not here anymore, but Ataba Rubin never did that.
Of course.
He stood up and took on a blocker and kind of like peeked around and thought he had control, but before you know it, you know, that lineman had pushed him 3 yards back and in some cases was right in the linebacker's lap. So to have Danny Shelton, to have, you know, John Hughes, who I gave, props to for being a penetrator, a disruptor, what we saw out of Phil Taylor in that Cincinnati game, that's what I want out of my defensive front. Penetrators, active bodies with size can negate any run game.
That's, you're exactly right. And that's what this team with the defensive line, that's what you hope to get with that guy, Danny Shelton, clogging the middle, allowing people to penetrate, get in there, win their one-on-ones. And we heard some of that on sideline too. Win the one-on-one. When you get that one-on-one, when Danny Shelton changes the math up there, win the one-on-one, set the edge, and get it done. 216-578-0850. That's the number to get in here. Let's go to Ryan right now in Las Vegas, talking about what he's looking forward to in the Browns and the Bills.
What's up, buddy? Thanks for taking my call. First and foremost, I just want to say Vegas, I think, entirely is wrong just due to the fact that they think our Brownies are going to be arguably the second or third worst team in the NFL this year. Obviously, we know what we have from last year. We've seen the debacle, but we forget to remind ourselves that the front lines are going to be back, obviously Alex Mack, and obviously, you know, the problem with on the defense was the rush. So therefore, I think we identified it in the draft. Also, we have some rotation going on with him and obviously Taylor, and again, we got another guy on the outside. So the reason more or less why I called was more so due to the fact of, you know, obviously opinions are not really high or low out there in Cleveland from what I'm hearing, more so due to the fact that the Cavaliers are so dominant all the way through, you know, pretty much March, April, May, June, and there was no Browns talk after the draft, so there wasn't really a high expectation or low expectation. But me in particular, and I want to hear your guys, you know, comments if you agree or disagree with me, when Vegas in particular makes their odds for a team, who they think, because again, Vegas takes a look at every team in the NFL, and they predict what wins or loss they feel that the team will get the next year. What they don't take into account almost ever, for whatever reason, is if that team identifies what they lacked the previous year, whether it be defensive probabilities, negativities, and the rush or the pass, and then the team goes out and gets like a, whatever, a Darrell Revis or whatever it may be to help out that pass defense, or, you know, on the opposition side, obviously a quarterback that's going to transition to the new offensive scheme. So the question I have for you guys is, do you think this 4.5 wins loss is just laughable, or do you think it's credible? And I thank you for taking my call.
I thought it was 6.5 in Vegas.
Well, I'm sorry, it went down. It went down and it went yo-yoed back up. I'm sorry, you're right. It was 6.5. It was as low as 4.5 at some of their odd sites. Again, everyone has their own sites of what sure. The wins loss is. But if you're talking about the LVH, it's probably the biggest in Vegas. I think they had it at 6. So that's right. But do you guys agree with me on the standpoint of teams should really be looked at what they did in the offseason to take care of the
problems? Themselves. Yes, yeah. And I think the Browns, listen, the biggest problem for the Browns was the run defense and was the defensive line. They addressed that. They got better at quarterback, but I don't think anybody in Las Vegas or around the National Football League believes that the Browns have a quarterback in the top 20 of the NFL.
Correct.
And that's why you see these numbers.
Exactly, and I think you take into effect what they did last season, and you know, with 7 wins and the way they finished and leaving, you know, Vegas has that bad taste in their mouth. We have the bad taste in our mouth. You know, the Cleveland Browns fans have that taste in their mouth. And so that, you know, subconsciously affects how you go into the next season, regardless of what you do in the offseason. As you just mentioned, not securing a franchise quarterback or a top 15 quarterback, you'll continue to have that bad taste. And then, like many people, as when the schedule first came out, you start counting the number of wins you think the Browns can accumulate, and you see that the schedule, as it looks right now, is more difficult than it was last year, and you only accumulated 7 wins, you know, after you fell apart with, you know, losing 5 in a row. That's where they come up with that number.
Right.
That's my best guess.
Is that discussed in the locker room at all? As a player, did you guys ever talk about, this year they think we're only winning 6 games?
And if it is, you and I touch and leave it in 15 seconds, and it's like you'll drop an F-bomb, you know, and say, F them guys, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and then
it's
never a conversation again.
They didn't play football.
No. Yeah. You know, you're not discussing lines going in like, oh, we're playing the Patriots this week. We're 12-point underdogs. That's never a topic of conversation. It never was in any locker room I was
points,
in.
Forget points. Was it ever like if you guys were expected to lose at home, if you were a home underdog, you're ever like, they think these guys are going to come into our house and beat us. Like, that is what...
Yeah, yeah. And in some cases, because as we understand and we air a lot of the press conferences that are out there, you know, these players and coaches are fielding questions from media reporters that pick
maybe
up those natural
back.
Hot, you know, sure. Those hot conversations or make you aware of it. And in some cases, you always see, you know, either Mike Patton or the player themselves is like, you know what, I'm not in touch. I'm not really in tune to that, but thanks for the information. It's good to know now, you know. But it has no relevance to the actual football game being played.
Gotcha. Makes sense. Makes perfect sense. Let's go now to Jim in Akron talking the wide receiver position. What's up, Jim?
What's going on, fellas?
Not too much, man. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
Good.
You know, we don't have a Dez Bryant. We don't have a Megatron.
No.
But how many teams really have that? You know, you've got Hartline. You've got Gabriel, Hawkins, Maley. And these young guys, they've been looking pretty good in training camp. I mean, you know, I think they may not catch on with us, but, you know, I think they're, you know, some of these guys are going to make a difference with other teams. It's unfortunate they won't make it with us, but, you know, the local kid looks good. And
Shane Wynn.
Uh, Lenz is looking good, and Jenkins.
Darius Jennings.
Jennings. Sorry.
That's all right. But, yeah, I think I think it's interesting for a team that doesn't, you know, have those big name wide receivers. There are some reliable veterans on this team. There's a mix of young, exciting guys that people have been happy to see so far. And it's a team that could ultimately end up keeping, when you don't think that receiver is a good piece of this team, could end up keeping 7, maybe 8 receivers,
right?
You know, classifying Marlon Moore as a receiver.
You can look at it two ways. This is the glass half empty, glass half full outlook on our receiving core. Is A, we don't have that elite pass catcher, that elite wide receiver that in some cases you know is going to get the football in those big situations, you know, down the field, third down when you need it. You go to Dez, you go to Megatron, you know, so on and so forth. You used to go to Larry Fitzgerald in those situations, Andre Johnson, guys like those. And so you don't have that, right? But then what you do, and the glass half empty or glass half full perspective, is that you've got 5 playmakers. You know, guys that have proved to Josh McCown through camp and in a certain portion of the season that they're reliable, that when put in a situation, they won before, and we can rely on them to win again. And it makes it very hard to defend. You know, last year on third down, it was Money Miles. You know, that's who, and we were successful with it, and eventually a team gets a beat on that. You know, and it took that away, of course, and then when he was hurt, it was definitely taken away, but we didn't know what to do from that point moving on. So now to have this diverse, you know, wide receiver cords, do we go to Bo on the back shoulder? You know, do we go to the Heartline on the precise curl route, you know, reading the zone blitz perfectly, or Hawk or Gabriel in situations? So it makes this a little bit harder to defend as well.
Right. You got to spread. You're playing point guard.
You do.
You're going to whoever's open. You're playing
point
guard.
But that's
on
Josh McCown
there.
To find that guy too.
And speaking of Josh McCown, Damon on a cell. Talking about Josh McCown. What's up, Damon?
Damon.
I wanted to really expand on Josh McCown because the human element, as far as him being comfortable and getting back to his days of playing with the Bears, you know, with football, it's all about accuracy. And I have done nothing but see this guy put the ball on the dime. And I know it's just the first game. We'll see more tonight. You guys seen plenty of, you know, the practices, but just tell me, how accurate is this guy, and is this something to be optimistic about? Because I do feel optimistic that this guy, I don't care who we got catching the ball, he's short of putting the ball right through their face mask from what I've seen.
I think that he's shown to be a much more accurate quarterback than we are used to seeing here in Cleveland.
More accurate than Brian Hoyer was last year.
Significantly more accurate than Brian Hoyer was last year.
And that's my point, because even in those, when we were 7-5 or whatever, he wasn't accurate in those games. And we barely won some of those games. And I'm thinking, if we had Josh McCown last year, and I know he's not the savior, but those games could have probably been won by 14 or 15 points or whatnot. So, you know, as long as he keep down that track, and what I meant by the human element is that now that he's not behind that Tampa line no more, he's behind a Pro Bowl line, and he's going to get more comfortable and more comfortable as the weeks go by, this guy's going to settle in and just start rifling that ball. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it. Josh McCown, according to Pro Football Focus in 2013, Josh McCown had a 77% accuracy rate. That's where they combine in completions plus drops divided by attempts, and then they get rid of throwaways, spikes, batted balls, hit is thrown, etc. So it's just pure accuracy. 77% was McCown. The only people better than him that season were Aaron Rodgers, Phillip Rivers, Matt Ryan, Drew Brees, and Peyton Manning.
Let's go.
Fairly solid group. Now, in 2014, that number for him dropped all the way down to 69%. Better than Brian Hoyer, 65. Not as significant as Brian Hoyer, 65. The only 4 quarterbacks at 77% or better last year were Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, and Alex Smith.
Teddy Bridgewater, huh?
So part of the thing that you look at, too, is under pressure. What happened to Josh McCown under pressure? How much was he under pressure last year? 44% of the time. That was the third highest in the entire NFL. His accurate percentage under pressure was only 57%. So when you give Josh McCown time, he puts the ball where it needs to be in a very accurate fashion.
And
this is a line that will do that for him.
And that was the exact point that I was going to make. He will have that. He will have more time. He'll have a better line than he had in Chicago.
Yes. Last year, Brian Hoyer under pressure only 28% of the time. McCown 44%. Hoyer, 49% accuracy under pressure. McCown, 57%. So he is a more accurate overall quarterback. You've got to just give him the opportunity, give him time. That's what this line's going to do. So we've seen it. I've seen him drop the ball, and where it really stands out is deep. He can drop the ball in the proverbial bucket, as they say, on some of those deep throws, and that has been certainly something that's been very good to see. When we come back, the Gribs will be with us.
And callers, we'll stay with us.
Callers, stay with us. We'll get to you guys as well, 216-578-0850, and then we'll get to Andrew Gribble as well here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Dreaming about the things a week.